So quickly. So, yeah. Try to do things a little more outside because we're very short on time. I apologize for the late start. Okay. I see there's already one problem on the sheet. Okay, the Seder. Let's start at the bottom of the right corner. Rav Lachem b'nei Levi. We'll start with the Shulman Shur, then we'll get bigger stuff afterwards. Rav Lachem b'nei Levi. The Gemara in Sota says that there was a taina against Moshe Rabbeinu that he started up by using Rav Lachem, which is a lashon of a little bit critical of Korach and his people. And so also later on, it's the taina of Rav was sent back to Moshe Rabbeinu also. Ask the Shemin Atov, what was the problem with Moshe Rabbeinu saying Rav Lachem? What was bad about that? So the Shemin Atov says, I'll tell you why. Whenever a person wants to do something positive, it has a hisorus to do something good, sometimes it doesn't have a good starting point. Sometimes it has a bad motivation. But a person wants and has a desire for ruchnius, you shouldn't squash that. Now, you have to deal with it, obviously, in a way that's intelligent. You have to make sure that you don't push somebody away. But if they were coming, people were coming with a taina, we want more, we want to do more. So you say, listen, squash. No, thank you, we're not interested. We don't want you to raise in ruchnius. Adrava, the whole chinuch in ruchnius is that you should never want to be at the same spot. You should always go more. All the famous Torahs about the Mizbeach and the escalator, going up all the time, the famous ideas. That's Ruchnius. So if someone's coming and says, we want to do something good, you say, listen, take a seat. We don't want to hear about it. That's not the right approach. That's why the Gemara says, you can sigh, fourth line, V'hanira demila rav lachem, אסור להיאמר על איזה שאיפה רוחניה שיהיה וגם שהכהונה יהיה אשר לקנות אותה ולכל מקום אין לומר למישהו רב לך. You should never say רב לך. כבר יש לך די ברוחניה. צריכים לתמוך במי שמילא קינה סופרים אף אם לא יעלה בידו וזהו כל מגמת משה לזכות למצוות הסתיוס בארץ. Why did Moshe want to go into Israel? He was a great tzaddik. He was the greatest person of all time, but he wanted to go into Israel. So that's good. You want to encourage that. Hashem says to him, you can't go in. Okay, he doesn't say, listen, you have enough. You don't need to go into Israel. You have a lot as it is. Why do you want to go into Israel? Wasn't about Hakadosh Baruch Hu's tying it back to Moshe? Of course, it was important that he wanted to go to Israel. We should always want more. So that to here, Moshe said, Rabbah, Bnei Levi, you have enough. What are you complaining about, you guys? You look to be in the Levim. So there's a little bit of a time on Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, but they want to do something good. They want kahuna. You can't buy kahuna. Yeah, but we want to be part of it. So let us. So the answer is that you shouldn't do that. And this is very important in terms of, at least in my position, and I think in terms of being a parent, and also in terms of being even a friend. Some guy says to you, listen, you know what? I want to take upon myself a new company. I want to do the following. Blah, blah, blah. You look at me like, you're crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be able to do that. It's going to fail in a week. Okay? So now, you could be blatantly honest with the guy and say, listen, I know you. Let's be serious. This is going to last 2 days, and it's going to fall on his face. You could say that to him. It would be very not nice. Right? And maybe brutally honest, and maybe that's what happens. But if the guy feels it, all of a sudden, he wants to do something like that, so you can encourage him. Worst thing will happen is in 2 days, he'll find out that it was a disaster. Okay. No, no, no. Look at Akloom. But he wanted it. So you tell him, listen, forget about it. It's not going to work out. It's terrible. We want people to have that Hisorus for Kedusha. I'm sorry? Moshe says to them, Rav Lachem b'nei Levi. You have enough. Vayikalu Moshe alav yemru. Sorry, they said to them, Rav Lachem, Kvod da kulam kedoshim. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, right. Shenema Rav Lach al-Tosef daber. Right? Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, you said enough. I don't hear any more. Okay? So that by Moshe Rabbeinu was a problem, and that's why he got sent back in his face, the Rav Lachem b'nei Levi, that Korach and his people came in after them and said, listen, you guys have enough. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu penalized with the Lashon Rav? Because he also used that Lashon Rav Lach when he told the people that they should take the back seat. I want to continue now. There's a famous medrash about Onan Pelet's wife. Okay? The idea that she went out in front of the tent and she was going to protect him. And she was going to, by standing in front of the tent, she made it that no one could go inside and find him. Therefore, she kept him out of the focus, and everything was good. Thing is that the Gemara says, from here you see, Chachmas, Nashim, Bansa, Besa. Women are so intelligent, they have this extra Bina Yaseira, they're so brilliant. Asked the Shemana, and said, oh, what was so brilliant about that? She said to him the most pasha thing. Listen, you're one out of 250 some odd people fighting for the same job. You know what? You're not going to get the job. This is stupid. Why are you in this fight? What are you going to get out of it? What kind of cover are you going to get? So she gave him some hard liquor. He got drunk. He fell asleep. She went outside in front of the tent. No one went inside the tent. Brilliant. Come out of it. The Pasha of Taina. Pasha. So it says, Shemana Tov. This is the Shemana Tov that's on the sheet here, but only half is on the sheet. The other half disappeared. I don't know where it is. Anyway, the Shemana Tov says that the beauty of her was that she realized the Omek of a Nefesh of Yisrael. As bad as Korach was, and as bad as his Ada was, and as lowly and as covenant driven as they were, there are some red lines. There are gvulot. Even against Moshe Rabbeinu, and they could kofel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Some people say that was their avera, and some people say they were money hungry or they were power hungry. Whatever it was, there's one gvul that you don't cross. When she went out. And she was there without her hair covered. And she was violating Dinei Tznius. How's that going to work? What good is that going to do? Because she understood that as low as a Nefesh Yisrael comes, you don't stoop and take Tznius. No one's going to get near her. No one's going to go through her into the tent, okay, and get him and wake him up and bring him out and part of the fight. If she's standing, they run away. They see her like, whoa, what is this thing? Some woman standing in front of her tent with her hair covered. That was a madriga once upon a time in Klal Yisrael. Okay, how that wish was over there. Okay, but that was at our own level, okay, to understand that Dinei Tznius, Dinei Tahara, okay, you can have people who are very, very far from doing what you're supposed to do, Shmir Torah Mitzvahs, and doing the right thing, okay? And they're violating Shabbos, and they're violating across the board, whatever you want. Okay? But some things, okay, I'm not saying covering here specifically, but the topic, being Yanei, relations and Arias and things like that, Klal Yisrael has a certain level of busha, and a certain level of recognizing what is correct and what is tahor, okay? That even when you come low and you come very far, you're really rough from what is supposed to be done, you don't cross over the red line. When she was in front of her tent, the people saw her, they were like, whoa, something really is wrong here. We gotta get away from this lady. She's really cheap. And says the Shemana Tov, the Gemara says that all of Klal Yisrael were Mekana their wives, Mekana Milashon, they gave them kinui. They were a warning that can't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was suspected at the Sota on Aches Ish by every woman in Klal Yisrael. So says to himself, what are the rules that we're talking about? People really thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was over on Ish with every woman in Klal Yisrael? It's crazy. Elama, he said, people thought that this was Moshe Rabbeinu's plan. How was he going to deflate the machlokes? He went around to all the ladies and told them a great idea. Listen, I want you to get your husband drunk so that he can't participate in the fight. Okay? And therefore, all the husbands said to their wives, you can't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu! We're choshing on you that he's going to come and he's going to speak to you in privacy. The whole thing about Sota is about Yichud, okay? With a married woman. So they all said, we asked you to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're choshing on you. Not that they were actually choshing in the past that they were over on Ish. But now, they don't want anyone to speak because they saw this plan that would happen here and they think Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's behind all the ASIC, trying to deflate the conspiracy. On that, the Gemara tells us, no, that wasn't about Moshe Rabbeinu. That's about women. Women have a special understanding, and Klal Yisrael has a special understanding, that Binyan Tznius, we don't cross over certain gvulot. Guess the second Shemana Tov. The Gur Aryeh in the bottom middle, Gur Aryeh has an interesting question. The Pasuk says that Pasuk says that the people, they all came out, they, their wives and their kids. So Rashi says, "Bovrei kama kasha machlokish rei beizin shamata enochin elash ashi avis tei saros beizin shamala aresim shana." The kan avu kol yon kei shadai. Here, even little kids who are still breastfeeding were killed. They were swallowed up. So ask the Gurai, okay, that's a nice point you're saying, Rashi, and that's what the Pasuk ultimately says later on. We know that all the kids got swallowed up. The question is, why? You're right. We see from here, Uvda, Machlokus is worse. But why is Machlokus worse than everything else? Why is it worse than Bezin Shamala? And why is it worse than Bezin Shamata? You're right. 13 in this world, 20 in the next world. But here, Machlokus is worse. Okay, what's with that Machlokus? Why were the kids swallowed? What did they do? B'mahim chatu. B'mahim ashamu. What are they guilty of? Says the Maharal, beautiful point. If you look at the Maharal on the bottom, Yesh l'chaladas, three lines from the end of the first paragraph. The Yesh l'chaladas ikr hatam ki ma she'en akat nenash ki en akash brochu mevi onash al katan. Generally, katan doesn't get punished because Hashem doesn't punish a katan. Alav machlokes she'guf ha'gehenom davek machlokes ki ha'gehenom v'ha'machlokes nivru b'yom she'en l'maisa gracious lo dia ki ha'machlokes ha'hu Guf ha-gehenem. Ulekach ne'enash, af ha-katan. Ki ha-onesh ba me'atzmo. Ki ha-shem yitbarach ein ma'anish ha-katan la-vi alav onesh. Al-im ha-machlokes atzmo hu ha-onesh ve'ein tzorch la-vi alav hu ne'enash. What he means is, what he's trying to say is like this. It's not that you did an aveira, and because of that aveira, you got punished. If you realize the aveira that are involved, which is machlokes, okay, and the fact that they went to the out in front of their tent, the kids, and they stood behind their fathers, is right. Yeah, they have no das. They don't know what they're doing. But lamaisa, they're taking part in the protest. Now, you're taking part in machlokes. Says the Maharal, you don't understand though. Machlokes, he. It's one in the same as Gehenna. It's not a you did not avera. Your punishment's gonna be you're gonna go to Gehenna because you did that. No, machlokus in of itself, being part of machlokus, is Gehenom. That's why he says the two things, machlokus and Gehenom, were created the same day. Machlokus was on Yom Sheni, when the waters were divided, the higher waters and the lower waters, the skies and the oceans. Okay, on day two, that was the day of machlokus. That's why it doesn't say on day two Kitov, because it was a bad day. But machlokus, which is utter destruction, which is Maharal calls it's head there. It's everything that's lost. It's emptiness. That emptiness is the etzem Gehenna. What Gehenna is something that has no positive to it. Says Maharal other places, machlokes has no positive. Even machlokes, you'll say, but it says a shem shemaim, it is okay. Yeah, says Maharal, it's not because machlokes is okay. Machlokes is never okay. But you can add in an element, an outer element called Kadosh Baruch Hu, and make the fight worthwhile. Okay, so now, it's not that the fight is worthwhile, it's that Hashem is worthwhile. But Machlokus, in of itself, is utter destruction. It's despicable. It rips apart Klal Yisrael. It's disaster. It's total loss. Total loss, as they say in Hebrew. Okay? So, says the Maharal, that's why it was created on the second day. It's one, it's not that it's two separate creations. Machlokus is Gehenna. It's the disaster of Klal Yisrael. It's the ultimate destruction. It's the ultimate loss. So if that's the case, it's not that the katan is being punished. He's not being punished. It is inevitable. It's a definition. Machlokes, if you're involved in Machlokes, you're involved in Gehenna. So then they went to Gehenna. That's what happened. It wasn't like, this is your punishment for doing the following Aveira. They're not responsible for Aveira. You're right. This is not a cause and effect. This is what it is. Machlokus is to the core, to the root, is disaster. It's destruction. It's total emptiness. And therefore, since the kids took part in that emptiness, they went to emptiness. That's where they are. That's where you're holding by. So that's what you get. As he says in the last, in the end, Mashal, Hamashal, Im Amar Achad, Ani Lo Erogutcha, Aval Im Teroge Atzmecha, Ani Lo Asiti Zeh. The person says, I'm not going to kill you, but if you kill yourself, I didn't do it. Meaning, if you're going to go ahead and kill yourself, Seder. Still two here. Kach inyan ha-machlokis. Kibush nivra gehenem ima machlokis, who may be atzmo le-onesh. Ki lo nikra zem may be onesh alav. It's not that an onesh came unto him. Rakol ba machlokis mekom ha-meyucha lo, hu ha-gehenem. Shari nivra imo. It's all together with one creation. Im kein, hu shayachu. Therefore, it's shayach to him also. That says the Maharaz of Pshat, why the Ketanim even were swallowed up, even though Lechara, they're not accountable for what they did wrong. Okay. Middle of the page, the Nefesh HaRav. Nefesh HaRav says that the Korah came out and he asked a question. He asked about the Talis, it has Kulot Chelis, it has a Nitzitzis, and then he asked a second question in the Medrash of the Mezuzah. We're going to deal here with Dafka the Tzitzis. Says the Nefesh HaRav in the fifth line, fourth line, sorry. The Torah, כמו בחיים, יש דברים ברורים ובוערים ובנים לכל, יש דברים שהם מסתרים ואין מבם מוקים, ואשר קשה להבינם להשיגם. There are two parts, כאילו, בנגלה, that we see. One are things that we understand in Torah, things that we comprehend, we get a grasp on, and things that we don't understand. That's the second part of Torah. Those are two parts. Things we got, things we don't get. Okay. The thing is like this. Vinere, and he still says the Nefesh HaRav, these two things are hinted by in the Chutei HaLavan and Chutei HaTcheles. Lavan, okay, we always think, as the Gemara says, right, Eino Mechuvarli. It's not clearly, or it is, Asparazu Mechuvar. What does Mechuvar mean? It's whiteness. It's pure. It's clear. It's understandable. So that's Lavan. Lavan are the things of, on the white we have Lavan, which is our strength of white, which is that the things that are in the Torah, things in the world, we have a Tzfisa, we understand them. Then there's the tcheles, which is the things that are not understandable. Now, what do we do with the tcheles? Let's look at this a little bit last week also. Where does the tcheles go? So there are different sheets on how to wrap this, okay? But the general idea about tcheles is that you potel the tcheles, you wrap the tcheles around the white. Maza omer. Maza shayach lano, says the Rebbe of Salvation to follow. Skip down a little bit. Now, the chut, about 6 times in the middle line, the chut elam and mashur tzitzim ramzim and dharm and fresh and mavarim, the chut yatchez ramzim and advarim and mechus vimenu. Things that are beyond you, you can't understand, they're concealed from you. We don't understand them. The Gemara says, why tcheles that remez? Because tcheles itself is supposed to remind us something that we don't see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu! Tcheles dome leyam, yam dome lerekiah, rekiah dome lepisei hakavod. So the whole concept of tcheles is about something nistar from us we don't get. And it's symbolism that's beyond our understanding. So if that's the case, as a fellow Salvechik, so then the idea is the following. She'ein lanu shum hasaga b'kisei hakavod. Barakiah, v'hayam, gam kin arukim, v'rechavim him, and they're beyond our scope of understanding. V'ein ha'sech lanu shi'achol v'tofsam. We can't understand with our own mind. V'tamir alinu ha'til chutshot tcheles v'tzitziyoteinu. We always have to have a chutshot tcheles in our tzitzis. Why? L'hazkireinu she'kulanu tzrichim l'rebi. Now, what does he mean by this? What it means is that we take even the things that are clear to us, ke'ilu clear to us, okay? We wrap the tchilas around them, okay? And we say, listen, you don't really understand this. What it means is, we always need to know, and I'm not sure what he means 100%, okay? You always need to know that these things are still beyond your understanding. You still need more clarity in that. So on a partial level, what it means is, which is last week also, we wrap the tchilas around to show that everything, even things that are understandable, are really beyond our understanding. Because everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzrichim l'Rebi, as he says here, means we have to recognize that everything really comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even if we think we understand it, it's way beyond our scope of understanding. There's much more there than what we seem to understand. Clearly on things we don't understand, for sure it's that way. So always we wrap the tchilas to show that be'etzem, we are small and everything is beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu because everything really is unclear to us. On a second level, I thought, I'm not sure, but we'll see what you guys think. On a second level, may just mean, no, you know what, it also means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also means it really means on a Rebbe level. It means that when you think you have it all worked out, you think it's so clear, you know what, even the things that you think are you understood and you work through, you should bounce it off somebody. Make sure that somebody is clarifying that. Make sure that someone is understanding like you and they don't have a different cheshbon. You need a Rebbe. Even on things that are clear, wrap around it something that's unclear, meaning treat it as unclear that you still need someone else to sharpen it off of, bounce it off of, sounding board. That's what he says now. Ve'afilu tamid chacham hachi muvhak v'hachi gadol gam kein tzarech l'rebi. Ve'afilu kvar nifta rabo tzarech tamid l'damot b'rayono. He has always seen, well, what his Rebbe would have done. How would he have passed in this case? And that's what Korach was against. Korach says, what do you mean, but we all stood in Har Sinai. Everyone can make their own psak. Why should you guys be above anybody else? Ain't tzarech l'rebi lifshot tzfikotem. We don't need Rebbe. We can do it on our own. Ve'ain tzarech tamid lishol etz Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have to ask Moshe, you don't have to be in charge, we don't have to ask you questions, we know what the answers are. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said back to him, no, you don't get it. Even if it's cool tcheles, it needs tcheles. Meaning, what it means is, it doesn't matter. I don't care how much you think you understand, I don't care how intelligent you are, I don't care how great you are, I don't care that you are at Har Sinai. You need that tshuva tcheles to remind you that, you know what, you don't really understand. You need to ask, you need to look at yourself as a talmid to somebody. That's why he says even the greatest Talmid Chacham need to have a Rebbe. So from the Lashon here, it sounds like much more the Rebbe is referring to really a practical Basa Adam Rebbe. Okay, I think Kal V'Chomer, we have to recognize that obviously everything comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. But even these here, he says we have to make sure we understand the concept of Seil Charav, making sure that even though things are clear, or we think things are clear to us, we should always have somebody to bounce it off, someone more intelligent, someone to look towards, to possibly give us a better, a further insight. Okay. Says the two last points before we get to the Nitziv in the beginning. Let's go to the end. This is of Salvechik in a sefer called Naros Harav. Naros Harav are svarim that were put out, pamphlets that were put out on the Moadim. This happens to be in a pamphlet about Purim. I don't know what it's doing about a pamphlet about Purim. Okay, but he has a whole minor about the Machlokes Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach, and it's split into two parts. I only have it in the second part. I'll just tell it to you outside. He says there were two major vikuchim between Moshe Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Number one, which is clear, Korach comes and says, why should you have any more power, right? Kol ha'ida kulam kadoshim, v'tocham Hashem, madu atasantu ala kal Hashem. We're all kadosh, so who are you? So, Moshe Rabbeinu's answer is what? Moshe Rabbeinu says back to him, that's Hakadosh v'yikriv elav. V'yisasher yivchar bo yikriv elav. The Lashon Moshe Rabbeinu is all in the singular. What's the fight going on here? Says the Salvechik, a beautiful idea. Korach, you should just know the whole fight about Korach. This is the first political machlokes in Klal Yisrael we had. We have many since then, Baruch Hashem. Okay? But the first, up till now, we've had times of Klai Yisrael approach Moshe Rabbeinu, and they had tainas, and they had tzvias. We want food, we want water, we want better conditions, it's hard for us. We want, even the Egel, he says, was not a political machlokas. This is the first time there's a protest, an ideological protest against Moshe Rabbeinu's power, and his divinely chosen by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what's his taina? Says Korach, I don't get you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Are you any more Jewish than I am? I am a Jewish mother, and you have a Jewish mother, and you have a Jewish mother. Baruch Hashem, we're all Jews. So who are you? Who says you're more of a Jew than I am? We all were at Har Sinai. We all heard the Kadosh Baruch Hu saying the Dibros, so why are you any better? Okay? That was Korach's time. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what, Korach? He's a great fighter. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I agree with you 100%! You just missed one point. There are two aspects of Kedushas Yisrael. One is that we all get our Kedusha from the fact we're part of the nation called Klal Yisrael. So it starts with the Am, and it trickles down to the people. And therefore, you're right. I'm a Jew. You're a Jew. We're all charged to this big path called Jews. So we're all saying, Yefeh Mod. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's true on one level. You're right. But there's another level you're missing. The other level you're missing is that there's a opposite effect also, which is that each person's individuality contributes to the Kedusha of the cloud. There is a Chashivah of the Prak also. The Torah will not make everybody equal. on one level, yes, we're all part of the Jewish nation. We all have a shaykhis. That's true. That's very true. There's the second point, which is everyone's supposed to give their chilek. Where is that in your hashkafa? Where is that missing? Hashem wants us to have our own kedusha, our own personality, our own chilek. So where is that? That's why the second pasuk is all in the singular, because it's all about the prat. Which means I'm not calling you at all. But there's a second aspect you're missing. There's two parts of kedushas Yisrael. That's number one. That's one half of the machlokas. That's one half of the drasha that Rav Salih talks about. The second half is that he says Korach Spite. What was the question about the Tehillas? What was the question about the mezuzah? This is a salvation, beautiful idea. Korach was fighting here. Korach's fighting the divine laws of Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you know what, I don't get it. Let me ask you a question. Korach is a smart guy, he's a chacham. If a bad man, okay, that's white, has to have one chutzis to pass this whole thing, so a cool chelis, okay, doesn't have to have anything then. And the answer is that you're absolutely right. Logically speaking, you are 100% right. It makes no sense. If Parshas by Shemoa and Shema, you can put on the wall, pot to the house. So if you have a whole house full of chumashim that have Vayayim Shema and Shema in it, you're in the mezuzah. You're 100% right. According to common sense logic. That's if you think that all is always based on common sense and logic. And there's no special, there's no divine understanding, there's no zera. It's all about how I am mitchaber to Klal Yisrael, to Halacha. Does it fit me? Do I understand it? Do I like it? Do I enjoy it? Am I experiencing it in a nice way? And if I don't, then I'll make up my own Torah. Listen, there's a logic. Not going to make it up, stam. All logic. So look at what Salvation says now. Adherence of the ideology of common sense halacha, no matter what title this concept bears, whether it is called meaningful halacha, creative halacha, new halacha, these are all misled by basic philosophical doctrine containing half-truths and platitudes. They expound since the days of Korach a theory of religious subjectivism. It is hard to refute this theory. It was difficult to refute Korach's argument. He said, good, call that cloak no shame. Rachman aliva boy, Hashem wants our heart. What we feel. They maintain that faith is an inner experience. Man, they claim, meets God in the mysterious recesses of man's personality. The God experience is iridescent, dynamic, and breaks through the exterior of the human personality, transforming objective deeds into actions. In a word, they claim the mitzvot manifest an inner mood, a spiritual quest, a hidden feeling of happiness or sadness. Mitzvot are supposed to reflect the inner experience. Mitzvot, according to them, are external correlates which run parallel to the experiential order. Each experience has its external correlate in the form of action. If this theory is correct, the mitzvahs must be in the most competent manner correspond to the mood which they are supposed to express. Hence, the mitzvahs must avail themselves of the media of expression which are best fitted to reflect the inner experience. Meaning, it all begins in the heart, and however I feel, I will translate into that the actions that I feel are appropriate to God. And I will serve Him wholeheartedly with those things. It starts with you, your experience, and then you flesh it out in your actions. Says a Salvechik, Yadus expected the religious experience to follow the religious act. The great romance follows divine discipline, not the reverse. Moshe said if one fulfills mitzvah tzitzis, a glance at the purple thread will produce him in perhaps the experience of infinity. If one proceeds from action to experience, the blue color of will remind him of the mystery of existence and a link with God. If however one fails to conform with the halachic norm, and contrary to the rules of halacha, avails himself of a common sense approach, the looking or the glancing of the third chelis will not produce any reaction. If a response will be forthcoming, it will be a mundane and hedonic response, not a religious response. It will not enhance the religious experience. The experience of blue is a great experience only if it follows the Kiyam Mitzvah. But the experience of blue without the Kiyam Mitzvah can produce in man vulgar associations, vulgar memories, and unredeemed experiences. It's beautiful, Lashon. What he's saying, though, it sounds very, very poetic. What he's saying is such a basic point, so important in halakha today. There has to be a commitment, an unequivocal, an unbending commitment to halakha, number one. It's not about, we're talking about the last week also, right? And this is a little bit in the Emet Dabar here also, we're not going to get to right now. But the idea of, you can't, because of your connection and your dveikus, and you want to be the super Avos Hashem person, it doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. There are rules. There are halachas. There are mitzvahs. You can't. We obviously, as we've said before, we want you to have personality. We want there to be lay. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that. He says, tefillah and tshuva and avelos, the simchas yom, to the famous things of the Rav Torahs of the whole kingdom is belayed. But it doesn't mean we can forgo the actions. It starts with the action and then flows into the lane. Not that first you decide, what kind of person am I? What do I feel like today? What's the weather like? Okay, I feel like this now. That's not how it works. He says, we don't dress up the whole shul and put in the piano and the organ and everything in order to try to awaken you to a feeling, an experience. And it's that experience you'll then channel it into ruchnius. That's not how it works. It's the opposite. You do something, you do a mitzvah in the proper way, and we hope that the haftacha is that the mitzvahs are imbued, they have intrinsic kedusha, they'll instill in you a feeling of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you'll act on that. That's what he says, you do a mitzvah and then you dance and act on that because you feel overjoyed. That's wonderful. But not that you dance and dance and dance until you figure, you know what, oh, now I'm ready, now I can go do a mitzvah. That's a cool. And that's what he says, the common sense halachic approach, the modern day, I like this, I don't like this, this I understand, this I don't understand, I'll do what I think is good, let's be open-minded. That whole idea, he says, was all about Korach. That was exactly Korach's idea. And if you take that approach, you're right. There are a lot of things that you could poke at, and you can make fun of, and they don't make sense, and there's low plugs, and there's a custom. You can make fun of all those things. It's true. And they're true halachic. They're true halachically. And if it was all based on logic, you'd be right. If it was all based on your logic, but that's because you don't have a full commitment to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. If you don't have a full commitment, then there are lots of problems. And that's exactly what Korach was fighting Moshe Rabbeinu about. Okay, the last point I'll leave you off with a little bit of homework is this Netziv. I think I very much suggested. I'll tell you what it says outside in not much 3 seconds, which is that the Netziv writes that if you look in the parshas, the Kolel Netziv between Korach, Dasim Ba'aviram, and the 250 people, you'll notice them very different. The 250 people there's one way that Torah relates to them. Korach, there's one way he's related to, and Dasim Ba'aviram, a different way they're related to. In this way. The Reish Nun people got killed by a Sreifa. Okay? That he says, Menachem Korach HaKadoshim. There was proper Ke'ilu. They were doing something right for the wrong reasons. But they were treated in a Kavadik Ke'ilu Misa. On the other extreme, you have Dasan Aviram. They were only in it for themselves. Bad. Terrible. Disaster. Okay? Only for Kavod. Only for poking at Moshe Rabbeinu. Nothing good. And that's why they got their Misa. And if you look in between, you'll find Korach. Korach was the mixture. Korach had, in some respects, or at least on the outside, he gave over the approach that he was in it for a spiritual machlokas Hashem Shemaim. It was based on good things, but deep down, it was really rooted in a kavod fight of what he wanted, what he felt was important. And that's why he acts with the machtos, okay, he acts like the 250, which is what Kali Yisrael sees, but then he's treated in Misa like Dasan Baviram, and he got swallowed up. So you have three different things going on here, okay, and this is what his point is about the Reish Nun, that even though they had great they were great people, and they wanted, and they were searching for godless. They wanted kahuna, not because it was bad. They wanted kahuna because they wanted to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But says in the Tzitzit, so last week also in the Tzitzit, he says, not always what you want is what you can get. Some things are beyond what you can get. It's a good thing to want ruchnius. It's fine. But you have to know how to channel it. Not everything that you want, you can put into effect. So, on one hand, they were good. They were driven for the right reasons. But in the end, they didn't act on it properly. And they were willing to be moser nafsham for Misa because of that. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it was in an inappropriate way. That's what he says here, that even, as we spoke last week about the Tcheles, even the people who are kasher HaKadosh Baruch Hu and connected and want to do all Avos Hashem, it's very wonderful, you have to still know that it has to be rooted, it has to be planted in the right actions, the right emunas in HaKadosh Baruch Hu.